All right. This is Shannon. This is a story I wrote for a very special person for a very special birthday. It's called After All These Diversions. Time never reverted to linear after the pandemic was quelled. You knew it was the weekend because he'd slept again after teasing you awake to serve him. If he'd needed to be productive, his come and your quim would have heralded his departure. That it warmed you like an extra arm around you while he dozed with you foretold an entire day of his attention. Later, after the sun rose, he cleaned and dressed you and told you he was taking you out to play. It was a place you'd been before, with him, distanced from reality by a complex route of twisting gravel roads. It always reminded you of a fortress. You'd not visited often enough that you really knew anyone, not even people he'd let play with you, shared you with. You might recognize someone again by their smell or the taste of their body, probably. But you'd been masked for many of your visits, and it wasn't uncommon for you to be blindfolded, whether you were masked or not. He liked to manage your senses nearly as much as you liked him to manage your choices. There was a party in session, or possibly several, with complimentary attendees who weren't afraid to mingle. A pretty boy was ugly crying by the valet parking, bound to a lamppost, his cock caged. A row of cocksuckers were knelt along the paved path to the front doors. He ignored all of them, leading you by the hand. In the foyer, two people were bound to the fountain sculpture. Study in contrasts. A heavy woman, a jiggling collection of gibbous curves, secured by a loop of dental floss wrapped around her thumbs, facing a petite figure so obscured by tightly cinched straps that their gender was completely obscured. Chains wrapped around the straps on the smaller figure, and their shoulders bowed under the weight. A trio of figures moved between them, flogging them individually with select implements. Cunnilingus was happening every few risers of the left staircase up. The right was empty, even of gawkers. He chose the left, climbing slow enough that you witnessed two of the women arrayed orgasm, one of them staring at him as he led you up and up. The landing was empty, but the ballroom beyond it was thick with bodies and thicker with the smell of semen. A dais against the back wall was the focus of attention. More accurately, the displayed bodies, identified by numbers, being displayed and bid on, held the crowd's eyes. Not every room was in use. He paced through the club seeking something specific. He peered into rooms, bypassing several, both occupied and empty, without explanation. For your part, you pressed tightly against him, on his right flank, whenever he paused. Followed him closely when he was in motion. Not so close as to impede him, should he reverse suddenly and wish to move in the direction from which he'd come, but close enough that his hands could always find you. When he stopped, it was at the entrance to a room with a score or more of figures, not exactly gathered. Mostly they stood around the perimeter, individually. A few clusters of more, but they all fell silent at his entrance. Members, you could hear the smirk in his voice, didn't need to be anywhere but pressing into his arm, slidy. No, but pressing into his warm slidy. I'm here interviewing for special event 42. So there is no mistake, I will now read it aloud. If you remain in this room when I have completed that, you are binding yourself to the terms of the scene. This means, if you are somebody's plus one, you'll need them to seal the deal on your behalf. At that, four men turned and left the room. One of them returned, a handful of minutes later, his member in tow. For a part in this, you must be STI negative. You must be C2X vax positive. You must be able to ejaculate on. He turned his face towards you, raised his hand to hook fingers through the ring on your collar, brought you before him, all eyes on you. He had dressed you before you left his home. A cinched corset exposing the entirety of your breasts formed the majority of the ensemble. A crimson microskirt gave some pretense of concealing the loins when you stood up straight, but not too straight. Your ass was definitely unprotected, aside from the thong, snugly hugging your hips. Low boots completed the ensemble, enough heel to push your feet forward into the snug toe tips. This soft target, from an extremely close range, he continued. His hand swept the span from nipple to crest of your head. His smirk was focused on you, studying your breathing, your eye movement, your shifts from foot to foot. You kept your eyes on him, feeling the intensity of the crowd's eyes like the sun's glare. He turned you then, so your back presented to the audience, pushed lightly at your midsection so that you were bent forward, raising the hem of the skirt even higher, and addressed the audience. Give it some thought. I'll come around and assess you for what I'll want to see. If you don't leave before speaking to me, that's no guarantee that you won't leave after speaking to me. So be ready to tell me why your spunk is worth splattering on the skin of my slave. I like what that did to your breathing, his mouth centimeters from your ear, overwhelming all other sound. The smirk, now a genuine smile of affectionate control in his voice and his face. What color are you? Sir, I am very, very, very green. I have never been more green. He raised an eyebrow at that. Except every other time you've given me my fantasy. You know you're blushing, and you know that it's giving him pleasure to laugh at you. And knowing that you want this shameful thing to deserve his laughter deepens the flush. He nods, clips a leash to your collar. Stay at distance, he instructs. That turned out to be 4 meters behind him. Close enough to hear him speak, but not if he whispered. He approached one of the nearby individuals, a man with a meticulously sculpted beard. He validated his bona fides and chatted easily about nothing much, then clapped him on the shoulder and pointed him to a spot on the floor with the number one. The next two individuals, both dark-haired, were dismissed. He accepted both men from a pair who showed up together, sending them to spots 2 and 3. One bald, one grayed, both wearing loincloths, which did little to conceal their cocks, even from a distance. You couldn't have said why he chose to dismiss one and give your service to another, why he kept one man from a trio but dismissed his seemingly similar friends. Two that he assigned cue positions to were trans men, one a girl with a cock. Of the dozen cis men, 3 were purely tops, and their interviews with him were the least audible and most prolonged. Half the rest were switches with a handful of vanilla men. They just wanted to jerk off somewhere, and your body was as good a place as any for their jizz to land. Gentle purrs. If you will hold your horse for just a moment, I will prepare your target. He led you away from the queue, behind a modesty panel. Just before you followed around the corner, you heard him grunt triumphantly. There, in the pocket of space between panel and wall, he'd pinned a small form against the wall, having dropped your leash to grapple with the interloper. Please, please, I'm sorry, please, let me go, gasped about between sniffles, but with no struggle to escape. A man's voice, shuddering and panting. Explain yourself, he snarled into the sobbing man's ear, still levering an arm behind his back. You noticed, now that things were still, that the pinned man's tights were around his ankles. His shirt was long-sleeved and skin-tight. The man breathed deeply and started to talk, his eyes darting toward you, avoiding your master's gaze. I'm sorry, I really am. I did not know that there was anything scheduled here. I was taking a nap behind this panel, and just this minute woke up. You see, it's all very innocent. His jaw snapped shut, when he slapped his bare ass. Napping with your pants down doesn't exactly scream innocent, slut, shouting that last directly into the squirming man's ear. Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir. I'm sorry, sir. While groveling, he was pushing his bottom back, trying to rub on your master. The master noticed it and slapped his ass again, spun him around, put his arm across his throat, placed his fingers into the man's pubic hair, tugged. You say red to me, and I let go, and you walk away, and we forget this, he said. Your pussy flexed at his voice saying those words. You say green to me, and I put you in that line, and you prove you're worth my time by coming when I tell you to come. Those are my terms. They held their position for a full minute before the man whispered, clearing his throat, and said again clearly, Green, sir. Go stand on 16. Backing away from him, he tugged up his tights, went to his position. There was a parcel behind the panel, obvious now without the distracting interloper, marked with his crest. He gestured for you to open it and present the contents. From the package, he took a shiny metal question mark, the curl divided from the dot by a band of leather inset in the metal's surface. He hung it from your arm while extracting a pair of red chaps, a green blindfold, and a ring gag with green semi-precious stones set in the band. Shoulder-length red velvet gloves. Finally, a pair of metallic scarlet cones. He dressed you in the shiny chaps, strapping them around your waist, around your legs. The skirt fastened to the chaps, buttons you'd thought decorative now connecting to cover your skin from the waist to toes, at least on the front. He took the empty box from you and returned it to where you obtained it. When he returned to you, he reclaimed the question mark. You now recognize the curl as having a phallic tip at the end, furthest from the leather. He applied lubricant to your bottom from his ever-present vest of holding, tugging aside the taut thong, and eased the metal probe into your ass. It was cold and invasive, and the feeling of it holding you open called lightning down upon your clit. You were only faintly aware of him pulling your wrists behind you and cuffing you with the leather straps to that device, keeping tension on your shoulders and your bottom. He placed the red cones over your nipples, capping them in the club signal for do not touch. A slight squeeze set the clamps in them, thereby a welcome distraction from the sounds of people talking, the hum of their growing arousal, their eagerness to use you. Altogether, your outfit restricted physical contact to your shoulders up, but otherwise placed no limits. They would be free to caress your face, slap you, pinch you, violate your mouth with finger or phallus, and to discharge themselves upon any surface. Cum spattering on your tits didn't count as a physical contact violation, you flush to realize. These, he pulls your focus away from the sensations by showing you the gag and blinder, are optional. A succession of cocks are going to approach you and, in all likelihood, proceed to splatter cum all across that pretty face of you. If you feel that having no option to close your mouth will enhance the experience, I'm happy to place the gag. If you feel that you'll be visually overwhelmed, I'm happy to place the blindfold. This is also an opportunity for you to assess and tell me a color. He watched you think about the choices. It took less than a second for you to blurt, "Still strongly green, sir, but I would feel more green with the blindfold, sir." He nodded, stepped close, unclipping the leash, lowered the blinder to rest on your nose, tightened it to his satisfaction. You could still see slivers of light around the edge, but they were easy to ignore, especially when you closed your eyes. He walked you to the head of the line, his hands on your shoulders. You knelt at his command, let him rotate you, raise your head, tilt it slightly back. Gathered cocks, the hour approaches. When it is your turn, get on up, and then get on off. Her mouth is available for your use, but do remember that your task is to come on her, not in her. After you've shot your shot, look to me. I'll either be pointing you toward the door or beckoning you closer. If I dismiss you, you will be credited for your assistance, but no longer needed for the remainder of this scene. Everybody, say green if you got that. There was a roar, made indistinct by the hammering of your heart in your ears. You heard his steps, the motion of something heavy. And then he gave the first man in line leave to use and decorate you. They were quick, already hard when he crossed your lips. A lap of your tongue, and he pulled back to spurt onto your cheeks and nose, dripping slowly down onto your lip. It was momentarily frustrating until you remembered he was just the first of many. The second was slow, gripping your hair, your ears, setting the angle to push his head into your throat, chest. He hammered your mouth methodically. He was slow to come, and slow, pulling out when he did. You felt none of his seed fall outside of your mouth, but he tasted nice, and you hoped he'd get another chance, that you'd get another chance, to please him faster. More cocks, a dozen, more, some not bothering with your mouth. Two pushed your head back, pressed their testicles into your mouth while they jacked off. A geyser unseen but felt at its eruption, followed by falling ejecta, splattering onto your hair and shoulders. Time had no meaning. Aside from those moments when cocks were pressing against you, into you, throbbing and twitching and spraying. The first deposits had hardened and cracked, gained fresh layers, ran down your skin, clotted in your hair. Then the last in line must have reached the front, because you felt him beside you. You felt his gaze on you, taking in the state you must be in, sticky and dripping and gaping wetly, working your tongue and mouth endlessly, eager for the next penis's presence. Okay, slut, this next cock is special. Not that it's especially big, or pretty, or nice, but because, like you, it belongs to me tonight. Isn't that right? He wasn't asking you, but you mouthed, yes, sir, right along with the man he was addressing. Because how could it be other than true? You're my cock, and your name is Lookie, he said, and received a yes, sir, in response. If you ejaculate, Lookie, I'm going to pin your filthy balls to a butterfly board and paddle them for 2 minutes. If you don't ejaculate, I'm going to pin your filthy balls to a butterfly board and paddle them for 2 minutes, but I'll let you suck my cock with your stupid whore mouth. What color is that for you? It was green. You could feel the green even through the blindfold before he ever said it. Slut, he spoke so his voice carried, You have 3 minutes to make this pervert empty his balls. When you succeed, the remaining time you didn't need will be added to the time little Lookie has to endure his punishment for peeping. His voice slightly muted as he turned to address the queue. Don't worry, fellas. He won't last but a moment, as I'm sure you can attest. That drew laughter and catcalls. You probably blushed, or already so warm and flushed, you weren't really sure. And go, he said, shoving your head forward to engulf the tense and erect despite itself cock. You took the time to explore with your tongue, your lips. Even cracking, they were still obedient to your will. To his will. He could not respond to your suction, the massage of your tongue, things you'd learned and practiced until they were autonomic, the instinct of pleasing a cock with your mouth. Knowing your master was serious about his failure penalizing him, you pitied him, and so you went slowly, not rushing. Perversely, that slow, gentle suckling was what broke his self-control. He sobbed, desperately trying to escape, as his cock spurted down your throat, splashed your lips. You hoped you'd gone slow enough. He spoke, softly. 1:15 remaining. Lookie, go kneel by my chair, facing away from us. I'll punish you when I'm ready. He waited while Lucky's sobs receded, and then spoke to you. You are a mess. A very sticky, very hot mess. There are 8 cocks which have earned my permission to add to your disgraceful appearance. They stand ready to festoon you again. Do you want to see them? You considered, swallowing the water he tilted your head back to drink. I do want to see the cocks come on me, you said, your voice tense. You are sounding yellow. Be sure. Green. Green, sir. I've gone so far today, and it's been everything I dreamed it would be. And if it would please you for my lashes to be caked with cum, then please remove it, sir. The light was abrupt and accompanied with flows of fluid into the corners of your eyes onto the lids. You tilted your head to protect your vision for now. I did rather imagine your face being completely besmirched, my wanton slut. Thank you for giving me this pleasure. He turned to the half a dozen people waiting. Once again, please use my slut as you need to empty your balls upon her face. Target the eyes, if you have any control left. Again, after you've shot your wad, look to me. I'll dismiss you or retain you. He turned back, caught your moment of panic, chuckled. Oh yes, we're not done after this, you filthy slut. So don't use up that tongue. He walked to a chair you could now see, placed so he had a side view of your fellatio, sat. He gestured the first man in line to proceed with ravishing your mouth toward basting your face with his fluids. Every cis man took longer on this pass, longer than their first pass, if your ability to recognize cocks by taste and shape was functional. The girl with the cock was quicker than her first time. She twisted her own nipples throughout. Your master kept her for the next pass, but kept only 3 others. After the last cock had spurted the final dribble onto you, he turned his attention to the boy kneeling to his side, showing his ass. With hand and voice, he lowered the man's head and shoulders to the floor, spread his knees further, then left him like that to approach you. Relief flooded your arms as he released them from their restraints, and your pelvis spasmed when he eased the hook out of your bowels. He leaned down to study your face. You are the very spitting image of a cum-drenched, cock-craving slut. Hawked and spat onto you. You saw your grin reflected in his laughing eyes. Last task, he pointed to where the few remained. She's to make each of you come once more down her throat. If you get bored waiting for her to complete her task, you may leave. It will result in her being punished for failing to acquit herself with alacrity, but that's none of your concern. Now, his attention on you, crawl over there and give those cocks a reason to give you cream, kitten. You wasted no time managing to get your hands onto all the cocks in turn, then your mouth on each, and with some whimpering and coaxing, multiple of them into your mouth at the same time, sliding against each other across your tongue. When the first to spurt did so, you became aware of a rhythmic slapping sound. It wasn't until most of the cocks had spurted that you could turn to see the cause. Your master had Lookie over his lap, wooden stocks plate latched around his scrotum. Clamps stretched the skin of his testicles. You remembered the paddle he held, could almost feel the sting as he slapped it down again and again. Lookie squirmed and moaned and sobbed, but didn't safe word. Lookie walked doubled over after he'd finished with him and released him. Just before he left earshot, he paused, turned, spoke. Sir, my name is Terry, and I would like to earn the privilege of sucking your cock. You may, he said, bringing a smile to Terry's face. But not today. Today, my cum is reserved for this spoiled piece of fuck meat, indicating you. Terry nodded, opened his mouth to speak, thought better of it, and turned again to leave. Terry, he said, and Terry stopped where he was, didn't move. You may serve my will by licking my slut's face clean. That way, you don't leave hungry, and I won't have to clean up her sloppy successes. He beckoned both of you to him, and you went. He set you on his lap, his cock nestled between the cheeks of your bottom, while Terry methodically ran his tongue across your skin, from throat to hairline, once and then again. Terry blushed when he called him a good boy, and left like a happy little puppy wagging his tail as he went. When he was gone, he loosened the corset, undid the skirt and the chaps. You collapsed onto him, and he held you while you breathed and rested. Sir, I'm still green, you whispered against his chest. That's fortunate, as I'm nowhere near done using you. The sight of you being degraded by so many, so often, has me in quite a mood. His cock twitched under you, swelling. Master, how may your slave, master, how may your slave please you? rhythmically relaxing and clenching your buttocks, massaging him. It may please me to see your mouth used or your cunt filled, but you remember the hole reserved for me, I'm sure. My asshole, sir, your voice a whisper, wrapping a shiver. May I please offer you my asshole? Hunger bringing an edge to your voice. Get my cock as slick as you can with whatever saliva you have left, slut. Then bend over this arm of the chair with those panties off. You're on your knees before him at the word cock, and slobbering so much you soaked his pubic hair in seconds. He pulled you up and off of him and bent you into position as you fumbled your thumbs down your hips, squirming out of the thong with frantic urgency. He was not gentle with his cock, pinning you in place and pissing into you. His mouth nipped at your ear, licked, whispered, "You filthy slut. You smell like a whorehouse. Come from 20 men staining you." Which is where your orgasm started. He insisted on extracting 16 from you. One for each cock you'd handled other than his, and didn't count any orgasms which were insufficiently loud for his tastes. When you were done, when he was satisfied, you were a puddle in his lap, and it was time for him to take you home to shower and sleep like a baby, curled up on his chest. The end.